of the intestines out of a hog. The proper name of it is chitlins, but we just call them chitlins for short. Well, Bud had a bunch of them cleaned and fried up, and he wanted his wife to serve them for dinner, but being a preacher was there, she wouldn't serve those chitlins on the table, on Sunday dinner especially, and the preacher there. So after winking at her and making faces at her, and she wouldn't bring them, he asked the preacher, "Brother so-and-so," he says, "do you love hog chitlins?" That preacher said, "Yes, sir, brother." He said, "I could eat one 5 mile long with a loaf of bread for milepost." And seeing that he weighed about 300 or better, I'm inclined to believe him. And well, now, I know another Baptist preacher up there in that same neighborhood, and he was a pretty good old feller, all right. But now he's one that graduated from being an old square dance fiddler up to being a preacher, because his boys and me were peddling our bicycles into town. One of the boys looked across the cornfield, saw the top of an old log cabin. He said, "I remember going to that place one time to a square dance." His older brother said, "Yeah," he said, "Pa fiddled all night." But he was a pretty good old preacher, all right. And I heard a visiting Baptist preacher tell that one day. Now, preachers are not supposed to tell anything that isn't true, but this is a big preacher out of town. He said that this little boy had been taught to always tell the truth. And he said that he come running in the house and told his mother there was a lion loose in the street. Oh, she says, "There's no such a thing. You know better than that." Well, he says, "It is, too." And she went to see, and it was a big old shepherd dog all shared but his mane and his tail. And she told the little boy, says, "You have told a lie now," and says, "You have got to tell the Lord about it and make him forgive you for it." And so she shut him up in his room. Now, says, "When you have a talk with the Lord, you can come out." It wasn't long before he came out. His mother said, "Did you talk with the Lord about that dog that you thought was a lion?" "Yes, ma'am." She said, "Well, what did he say?" "He said he thought that dog was a lion, too, the first time he seen him." Then the we had an old man up in Georgia. I'm not so sure what he was, but I think he was a Methodist too. But anyway, it's up close to Albany, Georgia. That's not far from Plains, where we got Carter from up there, and you can expect anything up there. He went to church quite a bit. He went into Albany one night. No, he didn't ride. He was driving a blind horse to a buggy that night. He got up to Albany, lost one line in the dark coming home after he was too full of liquor to find it. He said he lost that line. He jee-hauled home like driving an ox. Well, the old man was mighty bad to swear. And I'll have to be careful with that on this microphone. It might tell on me or spit it back at me. I don't know. But anyway, he was bad to swear, and they had him up in church for swearing. Well, he promised by all, good and bad, that he would never swear again. He begged him not to throw him out of the church. He said, "I'll be a good Christian. I promise to never swear again if you just keep me in the church." So they promised. They couldn't do anything else then. As the old man started outdoors, the top step turned over off the doorsteps, and he counted every step down and landed sitting in the yard. He got up and rubbed himself. My God, I can't say the rest of it, but it says it's a mighty poor church that can't build doorsteps. Then we get on down here a little further. I knew one time that I was in the doghouse for sure. They come a traveling preacher to Clewiston, Florida down there. And I was working in that sugar mill. Now, there wasn't but one excuse to get off of that sugar mill during the grinding campaign. That was to go to your own funeral. That was your only excuse for getting off. But this lady, I had just come in and just gone to bed. We worked 12 hours a night, 7 nights a week. And she put in, I had to go to church that night. I said, "I can't get away from my job to go to church." I said, "I have to work every night." "Yeah, but," she says, "take off." I said, "I can't take off. I've got a job to hold and a family to feed around here. Those two boys with me this morning, a couple of them, and the rest of them had bigger appetites than they did." So I said, "I've got to work because I got to make that time." "Yeah, but," says she, "you've got to take off because the preacher's going to talk about something you never heard of before." I said, "What is that, ma'am?" She said, "He's going to talk about a hell without a fire." I said, "Ma'am," I said, "that's the kind I've been catching for 40 years. I turned over and went to sleep. But now then, we used to have these big dinners at church. I went to a hard shell association one time. They wouldn't associate with me. I had a siren on my bicycle. But I've been to Free Will, I've been to Holiness Baptist Churches, I've been to Missionary Baptist Church, and all the other kinds that you can think of. would have these big dinners there. I went to a Holiness Baptist Church one day, and the table must have been, looked like it was 50 yards long, and anything on it you might want to see. Well, there was an uncle of mine was nearly 7 feet high. He had a good friend there that was 7 feet high. And their wives were strict Christians. They couldn't take any foolishness. But these two men, they weren't so religious. One of them found a gizzard in a bowl of chicken gravy and held it up on his fork and shook it at the oven. But they ran a foot race around that table on the church ground. But the wives gave them a bawling out. About the time ever the life died down, the oven found a chicken and gizzard and held it up and shook it at that man. And they had another foot race around the table. That broke up the dinner, though. Now, there was another time up in Georgia. People didn't have automobiles in those days. Some of us never heard of one. And people got in behind my father to go to a man's meeting that was holding a 2 weeks revival meeting. I don't know what he was, but he's in a little shanty out the edge of a sawmill town. But Dad says, I don't want to go. And the lady says, you should go. You ever said the preacher will tell me a lie if I go? Dad says, no. He says, if he tells you a lie, he says, you tell me about it. Well, they went to church, and coming on back that night, this lady asked my father, said, Dick, said, did the man tell you a lie tonight? Yes, him. The preacher was right behind him. He said, well, what was it? He said, I'd like to know. Dad said, well, when you opened the service, you said you loved everybody. The preacher said, yes, sir, I said that, and I still say it. Dad said, when the collection plate was passed around, you said if there's anybody you did hate, it was a stingy person. Well, That broke up the meeting. The preacher didn't go back next day. Cut the meat right in half and left town. Well, then, the next Sunday, Dad, he was in the doghouse for sure by everybody in town, and the women folks had been after him so much to go to church, and he agreed in order to make up to him. So he was a logging train engineer, and he borrowed a locomotive the next Sunday, coupled onto a car, just about the whole population of Pineville, Georgia, piled onto that car, and here they started for Concord Church, about 7 miles away across Little River. Well, the old rattletrap locomotive broke down on the river hill, couldn't get up the hill, and Dad had to let it roll back down in the bottom. Well, when those ladies left Pineville that morning, they were dressed in starched clothing from head to foot down there, and they rustled like the wind in a dry cornfield. But when he got down at the foot of the hill, it took Dad an hour to repair that engine, and the women got madder and madder. Then they happened to think, too, it was Communion Sunday. They missed their only chance of tasting wine without a loss of respectability. By the time Dad got that old engine patched up with a railroad spike and some hay wire, got ready to go, he was boiling mad, too. So he got up in his cab, he blew two long blasts on the whistle, and let everybody know he was leaving town. And he told all these women if they didn't quit riding him, he said, I'm going to leave the whole bunch of you right here. And as he climbed up in his cab and started firing up to go back to town, everybody was ready to go. There was a couple of sweethearts rode up and stumbled out and said, my God, wait for us. We got to go too.
As you can guess, he's full of tales, and he could go on, and we'd enjoy hearing him, but time marches on. And now it is time to welcome once again Evelyn Beers Bernstein from Petersburg, New York, our dear friend, our beautiful singer, who has been here many, many years. This time she'll be accompanied by her lovely niece, Susan Boyer Haley, who now lives in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Good afternoon. Nice to be here. Nice to see the blue sky and the sunshine. There must have been a lot of prayers went up last night. It was one of the singers last night who sang a song with a chorus, use it up, wear it out, make it do without. And I certainly identify with that, having grown up in the period when I was told that many times as a child, and so was Susan's papa. And it reminds me of a story when Susan's Uncle Bob and Susan's mama, too, grew up at that. But it was Susan's Uncle Bob and my late husband, Bob, who told this story about an overcoat that was a cashmere coat that his mother wore for years. And she got tired of wearing it, and so she went up a long flight of stairs to the attic and turned on this funny little light. It was so old, it was the kind of a light bulb that had a little point on the end of it, and it was sort of dim. And she chucked that overcoat into a trunk with mothballs, turned out the light, went back down the stairs, and forgot the coat. Well, during the 30s, Susan's mama, Janet, was growing up, and it was time for her to go to junior high school, and she needed a fall coat, and the family could not afford to buy her a new one. So Grandma opened the attic door, went up those steps to the attic, turned on that funny little light, opened up the trunk, got out the cashmere coat, brought it downstairs, and cut it over and made a coat for Janet to wear to junior high school that fall. Janet wore that coat for 2 years, and she outgrew it. So Grandma opened the attic door, went up the steps, turned on the light, put it in the trunk, turned off the light, went back down the stairs, and closed the door and forgot it again. Several years ensued, and Bob and I met, married, conceived a child, and pretty soon Martha was 2 years old, and she was ready for her first little coat. So we wrote home, and we knew we couldn't afford. Bob was a student then. We couldn't afford to buy her one. So once again, Grandma opened the door, went up the steps, turned on the light, opened the trunk, took out that coat, turned off the light, went down the attic stairs and shut the door, packed it up and mailed it to us. And I made a little coat for Martha out of it. And it had a welt seam down the back, just like in the pattern. And so we really did use it up, wear it out, make it do, and we did not do without. And that reminds me of a song. It goes this way. And it has a chorus that I'd like you to join on. I had a little overcoat, 'twas old as it could be. Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. That's your part. Whatever I could do with it, 'twas more than I could see. Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. So I thought a little while and made myself a vest of it. 'Twas in the latest style. Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. Tra-la-la-la-la-la-la-la-la. I had the nicest little vest, 'twas old as it could be. Tra la 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 la. Tra la 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 la. Whatever I could do with it, 'twas more than I could see. Tra la 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 la. Tra la 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 la. So I thought a little while and made myself a tie of it. 'Twas in the latest style. Tra la 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 la. Tra la 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 la. I had the cutest little tie, 'twas old as it could be. Tra la 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 la. Tra la 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 la. Whatever I could do with it, 'twas more than I could see. Tra la 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 la. Tra la 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 la. So I thought a little while and made a covered button. 'Twas in the latest style. Tra la 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 la. tra la 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 la. I lost my covered button, 'twas old as it could be. Tra la 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 la. Tra la 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 la. And now whatever I could do was more than I could see. Tra la 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 la. Tra la 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 la. So I thought a little while and made myself a song of it, all in the latest style. Tra la 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 la. Tra la 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 la. Thank you. Thank you very much. The songs in the family have helped us through ups and downs of life over, I guess, about six generations. Some of these songs go back within the family. And each person in the family has his own facet and his own way of interpreting the music, and it's interesting to see how it's evolved over the last few years since I've been associated with the Beersboyer family. And it's just nice to see the kids growing up and carrying on the tradition and adding their own taste to it. One of the songs that's, I guess, one of the oldest ones in the family is called Seamus O'Brien. And we think that it comes from the time when there were a lot of Irishmen who came to the United States to get work. And many of them went west to work on the railways or in the mines. And a lot of these people were never heard from again. And I think that's what this song is about. Smile of the beautiful morn as it peeps through the curtain of night, and the voice of the nightingale singing his song while the stars seem to smile with delight. All nature now lingers in silent repose, and the sweet breath of summer is calm. While I sit and I wonder if Seamus knows how sad and unhappy I am. Oh, Seamus O'Brien, why don't you come home? You don't know how happy I'd be. I've but one darling wish that you'd come. I'd smile when you smile, I'd weep when you weep, I would give you a kiss for a kiss, and every fond vow that I made you I'd keep. What more can I promise than this? Does the sea have such bright and such beautiful charms that your heart will not leave it for me? Oh, why did I let you go out of my arms like a bird that was caged and set free? Oh, Seamus O'Brien, why don't you come home? You don't know how happy I'd be. I've but one darling wish that you'd come and forever live happy with me. Thank you. first song was for everyone here, and the second one was for everybody in my family. Third one is for my husband. Dumbarton's drums, they sound so bonny when they remind me of my Johnny. What fond delight can steal upon me when Johnny kneels and kisses me across the fields of bounding heather. Dumbarton tolls the hour of pleasure, a song of love that has no measure, when Johnny kneels and sings to me. Dumbarton's drums, they sound so bonny when they remind me of my Johnny. What fond delight can steal upon me when Johnny kneels and kisses me? 'Tis he alone that can delight me. His graceful eye, it doth invite me. And when his tender arms enfold me, the blackest night doth turn indeed. Dumbarton's drums, they sound so bonny when they remind me of my Johnny. What fond delight can steal upon me when Johnny kneels and kisses me. My love, he is a handsome laddie, and though he is Dumbarton's caddy, someday I'll be a captain's lady when Johnny tends his bow to me. Dumbarton's drums, they sound so bonny when they remind me of my Johnny. What fond delight can steal upon me when Johnny kneels and kisses me. Thank you.
Will that little clown sitting right there come up here a minute? Yes. Mm-hmm. Real quick. Turn around and let the audience see you. Turn around. Isn't that delicious? Well, a clown showed up today. She has a booth over there. She's from Circus World, and she'll do that to you if you want her to, for a price, of course. But that's darling. I'm glad you had it done, and I'm glad you came because weren't sure that she could get here. All right. You may take your seat now. Oh, that's lovely. The next lady on the program is a longtime friend of mine. In fact, she was a student of mine at Gainesville High School a number of years ago. She's now a professor at the University of Florida, and she has researched place names of Florida, and she's going to come up here and share some of this with you. Dr. Bertha Bloodworth of Gainesville.
Hey, y'all. I'm one of your cousins from Sinkhole County. You don't know where Sinkhole County is? Well, of course you do. There's the county seat is named after an Indian fighter, and it's right near where a place called Hogtown used to be. And there's a town in the county called Sinkhole, too. Well, we don't actually call them Sinkhole, but there's pretty good evidence that Alachuay means Sinkhole. And that's where I'm from, Alachuay County. That's a Timucua Indian word. And we've got sinkholes to beat the band in Alachuay County. And by the way, it is Alachuay. Yankees and strangers call it Alachua and Alachua and Alachua and all kinds of things. But the settlers called it Alachuay. And that's what their descendants call it still. Some of the young ones used to get even with the people that didn't know how to pronounce the name. If anybody came along and asked the way to Alachuay, they told them exactly where to go. But if they asked the way to Alachua, they just said straight ahead, no matter where the road went. You know how young uns are. Well, the names of places mean a lot, just like the names of people do, and the names of horses, and the names of automobiles, and hotels, and everything. In fact, naming is just about the biggest thing that mankind has done in this world. Why, it's the way language began, and it's the way language begins still with every new human being. Just listen to a baby calling names before he ever speaks a sentence. Daddy, mama, choo-choo, moo-moo, horsey, and so on. It seems that we just don't really know how to deal with anybody or anything until we've got a name for them. We certainly couldn't pass information along and folklore and that kind of thing without naming first. Who is he? Means, first of all, what is his name? And where is he? Means, what's the name of the place? And what kind of animal? What kind of plant? What kind of tree? Means, what's its name? Names identify, and sometimes they commemorate, like the name of my hometown, Gainesville, that honors the memory of General Edmund Pendleton Gaines, a United States soldier who fought the Seminole Indians to a standstill in Florida. Sometimes names describe, as Alachuay does. And as the names Citra and Manatee and Magnolia and Palm Beach do, telling about the oranges and the sea cows and the flowers and the palms and the beaches on this peninsula. Most of Florida's Indian place names describe the Indian name for the place where Jacksonville is now was Waka Palatka, and that just meant cow crossing. And I guess they used to ferry cows across the St. John's River at that point. There weren't any cows in Florida until the Spaniards brought them. And so the Indians took the Spanish name for cow, vaca. And you can find that Spanish word in a lot of Indian place names now. It's spelled differently, and you hardly recognize it right off the bat. But one of those names, for instance, is Wakahootie over in Alachua County. And that means cowhouse, because they say that that's where Billy Bowlegs built his cow pen. Palatka over in Putnam County just means crossing. And that's just where we cross the St. John's River to go to the beach, to Daytona Beach and Crescent Beach and all those beaches. So it's just plain old crossing. And I wonder if there's anybody here from the potato-eating place. Anybody here from the potato-eating place? Well, how about Apopka? Anybody here from Apopka? Well, they're the same place, because that's what Apopka means, the potato-eating place. Sometimes place names tell a lot about the people that gave the names, how they made a living, where they came from, what they read, what they laughed at, and what they believed in. For instance, most of the saints' names on the map of Florida tell us that the Spaniards that started coming here going on 500 years ago were Roman Catholics. San Mateo, that's Spanish for St. Matthew. And St. Augustine and St. John's are translations of the Spanish San Augustine and San Juan. And you may believe it or not, but Sewanee may well be one of these names. You hear how much it sounds like San Juan? On a 16th century Frenchman's map of Florida, there's a river that could be the St. John's. Those old maps were sort of funny. But there's a river that could be the St. John's, and it's labeled Sewanee. I wonder if isn't what that Frenchman or somebody else heard the Indians say that the Spanish had named the river, San Juan Sewanee. A British map of 1774 shows the river that flows through this park right behind us as, quote, the river San Juan de Guacara, commonly called the Little Sewanee, end of quote. Isn't that awfully close to Sewanee? If I'm right, then, Sewanee is a Roman Catholic name, too. And I think that's awfully interesting. And, of course, we have the St. Mary's River from the Spanish Rio de Santa Maria and all the rest of the long parade of saints' names. But the Roman Catholic religion is not the only one we find in Florida place names. There's a place over in Gulf County that has an Indian god, the name of an Indian god for its name, Iola. And that's the same god whose name is a part of the name of Florida's most famous Seminole, Osceola, Salem, and Providence, and Shiloh, and Mount Ararat, and Antioch are a few of the place names that reflect the sturdy Protestant religion of the Americans that started settling Florida in the 1820s. And Luke and Dorcas and Sharon are others. And you could name me more, I bet. Most of the naming of Florida places has happened since those days. But some of the most interesting names on the Florida map were given by those American pioneers, and some of them still linger in memory or in actuality to intrigue the traveler. Two Egg, No Rum, Scratch Ankle, Hard Scrabble, Shake Rag, Sunday Rollaway Creek, Hen Scratch, and so on. The 5 centuries long history of and romance of Florida and her people under 5 flags, the mystery of her aboriginal past, and all of her geography are found in her place names. 1,000 tales are ready for telling whenever anybody asks, "I wonder why they called it that."
Aren't you glad she told you about place names of Florida? Let's give her another hand. Now, I want to warn the children over there to my right who are swinging on those vines. Don't do it. All right, you grown folks, ask them there to cease and desist. Don't do that. I hope you people up the hill are hearing well, are you? Good. Well, and you know, it's great to visit with your neighbors, but don't visit while somebody's speaking or while somebody's singing. Let's don't do that. The fella right next to you may want to hear every word. Now, I don't think you can talk while the Makeley family is performing. The Makeleys have been to the folk festival many, many times. I auditioned Mama Elroy's over the telephone, and she's great. She's passed it on to her children. This is folk in action, passing from one generation to another. They are from Jacksonville, originally from New England, but we are glad they belong to us now. The Makeley family of Jacksonville.
Those of you who may have been here before and noticed that one is missing, her baby was due day before yesterday, and she thought this was a little far to come just in case, so there are only 2 of us. This one. That one isn't going to do it. Okay. Sorry, wrong microphone. Keep that right. Okay. Switch that. Yep. Now,
this is your song.
Okay.
You may introduce it if you like.
Okay, we're going to sing first a hymn that the Lord gave me several years ago when I first really learned to know Him, and it has become one of our favorites. It's called "The Man from Galilee." Jesus is the man from Galilee.
me free. And Jesus is the way to happiness. His loving power stands up to every as little children. There's welcome here for all who hear my word. God's Spirit fills my soul and comforts me. He dried my tear-filled eyes, and now I see His glory shines throughout the darkest night. With Jesus, everything can turn out right. Amazing grace, at last I know your meaning. Such simple words to mean so much to me. And Jesus sends this grace to all who seek Him. You too can this man from Galilee.
Okay. We're going to start off the yodeling with a real slow one. Kind of put you to sleep, and we'll wake you up in a little bit. This is a lullaby yodel.
Sleep, baby, sleep. Close your bright eyes while I sing my yodeling song, or tender lullaby.
A little bit with our favorite. This is the one we do every year, and it's called He Taught Me to Yodel.
I went across to Switzerland where all the yodelers be to try and learn to yodel and go yodel-y-lady. I met up with a Swiss boy, he was handsome as could be. I'll teach you all to yodel just like he taught it to me. He taught me to yodel, yodel-y-lady, yodel-y-lady, yodel-y-lady. This is how to yodel, yodel-y-lady, yodel-y-lady, yodel-y-lady. Well, this lad up in the mountains was a tall and handsome Swiss. He taught me how to yodel and he taught me how to kiss. He taught me how to cuddle in that good old mountain way. We did our loving on a mountain yodeling all the way. He taught me to yodel, 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 yodel. This is how to yodel, 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 yodel. And now I'm gonna teach you all the yodel just like me. It's easy while you're singing to go yodel-a-loo-dee. First you take a deep breath and an exhale, one, two, three. And you will hear a yodel if you listen close to me. This is how to yodel, yodel-a-loo-dee-a-dee, yodel-a-loo-dee-a-dee, yodel-a-loo-dee. This is how to yodel, yodel, oodie, eti, yodel, oodie, yodel, oodie. Ole, ole, yodel, oodie, eti, my little oodie, yodel, oodie. Ole, ole, yodel, oodie, eti, my little oodie. Ole, 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 oh lady, 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 oh lady.
Thank you.
Oh, that was great. Couldn't have a folk festival without having Frank come over with Warren Capel, his boss, to beat a tune on a shoe. Frank's ability to beat a tune on a shoe has brought him fame. If you like, you can find him cheerfully working at his trade at Capel's Shoe Repair Shop on Marion Street in Lake City. He's being accompanied by good old George on the harmonica.
Beat a little Casey Jones here, all right? Yeah.
I'll tell you a little secret. I'll bet he sits up back there around behind the stage. So if you want to take his picture, you can go back there. We're very excited about the next group. This is their first time at Florida Folk Festival, in contrast to some who have been here many, many years. And remember that this is our 25th annual Florida Folk Festival. The Peyton Brothers of Jacksonville.
Told, and I'd like to mention real quickly before anybody asks, we are all brothers, and quickly tell you who we are. Lee is our youngest on the mandolin. Mike is our banjo player. My name is Dan, and John's the oldest on the bass fiddle. And what we're going to do for a few songs is play some bluegrass-type music, although we'll do a couple of rather contemporary songs that we've adapted to bluegrass style. We've got a couple of those, but before we do that, we'll do you song by a famous folk singer, Pete Seeger, is kind of revved up to a bluegrass style. It's one about the perils of working in a southern cotton mill. It's the Winnsboro Cotton Mill Blues. working in the promised land. I got the blues, I got the blues, I got the whimper, hot little blues. Lordy, Lordy, spooling's hard work. You know and I know you don't have to tell that when you work for Tom Watson. You gotta work like, well, I got the blues, I got the blues. Sergeant sitting at the desk, darned old fool, he won't give me no rest. He takes nickels off a dead man's eyes, buy Coca-Colas and an Eskimo pie. I got the blues, I got the blues, I got the whimper, I got the blues. Lordy, Lordy, spooling's hard. Well, you know I know you don't have to tell it when you work for Tom Watson. Thank you. We promised we'd do something kind of different. This is a song by a contemporary artist by the name of Michael Murphy. It's one of our favorites. We'd like to share this one with you. It's one called Carolina in the Pines. She came to me, said she knew me, said she'd known me a long time. And she spoke of being in love with every mountain she had climbed. And she talked of the train she walked up, far above the timberline. First quarter, the 21st, and the full moon in the last week brings the fullness to this earth. There's no guesswork in the clockwork of the world's heart or mind. There are nights I only feel right. Shows on the window and the wood stove smokes and glows. As the fire grows, we can warm our souls watching rainbows in the cold. And we'll talk of trails we walked up far above the timberline. There are nights I only feel right with Carolina. Thank you. Thank you very much. We're going to do one more for you, and we'll let our youngest brother, Lee, sing this one. It's another song we picked up from a contemporary group, kind of a country rock group, but it's strange. The song incorporates elements of bluegrass and perhaps a little bit of touch of gospel involved in this one. It's a lot of fun to do. It's called Picking to Beat the Devil. We invite you, if you'd like, clap your hands, but we'll warn you there's a stop in this one, so look out. We may catch you with your hands in the wrong place.
Making my rounds of the country churches, playing my guitar for free. Repertoire is 109 songs for God's glory.
They'll be back in a minute. They had to go see about something. And I have to see about something. Every one of our stagehands has disappeared. Boys, where are you? Report backstage at once. Stagehands, help. We're working one poor fella to death. Well, we've had a lot of fun with our special bluegrass groups this weekend. We were very, very proud to have the Sawgrass Boys come all the way from Hobe Sound for the first time since 1972, and they had a ball, rain and all. They've gone home now, but to replace them, here comes this fine group, the Peyton Brothers. Aren't they wonderful? Well...